In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In this morning's epistle reading, from the reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we heard the story of today's saint, Saint Dionysius the Areopagite, who was converted by Saint Paul in Athens. Saint Paul visited Athens on one of his missionary journeys, and we heard today that Paul, when he came to Athens, his spirit was provoked because he saw that the city was full of idols. He was concerned, when it says his spirit was provoked, he was deeply concerned because of the idolatry that had consumed this people. And so he spoke not only in the synagogues to the Jews, who of course didn't worship the idols, but also he spoke in the marketplace to the pagans who were idolaters, and he tried to convince them of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, several of the people who heard him speaking, they wanted to bring him before the Areopagus, which was the religious court of Athens, because they were puzzled by what he was saying, and they wanted to know, you know, is this okay? Is this man legit? Is he someone who is trustworthy to speak about spiritual things here in Athens? So they hauled him before the religious court, and he was asked to explain what he believed and what he was teaching. And here we have a beautiful example of St. Paul's preaching to the Gentiles. You know, most of the New Testament, especially the Gospels, in the Gospels we hear Jesus Christ speaking to mostly to the Jews. And so the message is tailored to the Jews, focusing on the Old Testament and how Christ had fulfilled the Old Testament. But here, St. Paul takes another tack. He meets the Athenian pagans where they are. Instead of demanding that they first learn all of the, you know, lore of the Jewish Old Testament, he speaks to them in more general terms, addressing them in their common humanity, the humanity that they share with the Jews. And he first points out something that even the philosophers of the Greeks had noted, which is that if God is really God, the true God who created everything, he cannot be like those gods of mythology that are sort of like supermen and superwomen who are circumscribed to a single place, and they seem to have, you know, human emotions and human attributes, and they seem to be limited in their power. That those gods of mythology can't be the true God who created everything. But he, rather, is not served by human hands. He needs nothing, but he gives everything to man. He is the source of everything. He is what Aristotle called the uncaused cause, the source of everything, the source of all life. But St. Paul goes a little bit beyond the Greek philosophers in saying next that as that source of life, he is a source only of good things. This God who created the world and everything in it, he created the whole human race from one man. All the nations that lived on the earth. And he determined by his providence where they would dwell and when they would live there. He determined how their lives would progress by his providence with one aim: that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel after him and find him. Because it is God's desire that all of us know him. Not just know about him by reading in books, but that we know him, that we discover him in our lives, feel after him and find him. Yet, St. Paul says, he is not far from each one of us. It's not, you know, a great voyage of discovery that's needed. God is here. He is in him we live and move and have our being. He is beside us. He is, in fact, in us. He's everywhere. We don't have to search far to find him. As even some of your poets have said, we are indeed his offspring. God loves us like children, and he wants us to be with him. So how do we do this? How do we feel after God, seek him, feel after him, and find him? Well, of course, for us, the most important things are those sacraments in the church by which we gain a living experience of God within us through Christ being born within us and the Holy Spirit coming and dwelling within us and healing us from the inside out and teaching us and transforming us into the image of God. And yet, there's more to this. God is seeking all of us at all times. And what keeps us from him is not him, but us. It's how we busy ourselves with the things of this world, how we are consumed, our attention is consumed by our sinful preoccupation with all the things of this world, with money, power, pleasure, fame. We lose sight of the one thing needful. Remember the story of Mary and Martha and how Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and learned from him, and Martha was busy with many things. And she complained to the Lord, and the Lord said, Mary, sitting at his feet, had chosen the one thing needful and will not be taken from her. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, in order to discover this God who is so near to us and who is longing for us and loving us, we must settle our hearts. We must, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, following the teachings of Christ, put aside the things of this world. Deny ourselves so that we can hear him and follow after him. And this has to do with all the choices that we make each day. When we are confronted with a choice of putting our faith and putting our energy and our attention into the things of this world, or instead putting them into our relationship with God. One of the things that we can do in order to clear space for God in our lives is to cultivate a practice of stillness, of quietness in prayer. Reserving time each day to spend in the presence of God. And that involves reading the prayers in the prayer book. It involves perhaps praying with our prayer rope. But it also can involve, and maybe should begin with, just some quiet in order to open our hearts to sort of dissipate all of the confusion of and fog of thoughts so that we can really be present with the Lord in prayer. This is something that's very difficult for us to achieve initially, because we are so habituated to this storm of thoughts. The storm of thoughts, which all of those thoughts, none of those thoughts have to do with God. All of those thoughts have to do with the things of this world and the confusion of you know, how we should manage our lives in this world, and the care that we take and the attention that we take, which goes beyond what is truly necessary, because we are frightened and anxious because faith hasn't settled in our souls and given us peace. So first we have to take some moments to clear our minds in order to be in the presence of God, and then to engage Him in prayer. And then to let that experience of stillness, it just needs to be, you know, 5, 10, 15 minutes each morning, maybe also in the evening as well, but to take that experience with us throughout the rest of the day, so that instead of automatically being sucked into the worldly commotion that's around us, we can keep that knowledge of God's presence with us to inspire us and to bring us peace in every situation. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, God is nearer to us than we are to ourselves. I think it was Augustine who said that, St. Augustine. God is nearer to us than we are to ourselves. So let us seek after Him, feel after Him, so that we can find Him and find life and all the good things that we desire in Him. To whom be glory, honor, and worship, to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.